rise and shine, for your light has come. Stay tuned for Brunch Time Motivational Talk Show, only on Shalom FM. It is written, men ought always to pray. There is a relationship between prayer and power. Join us every night for Midnight Prayers with Bishop Joshua Simeon.
There comes a time when we hit a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying.
Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all.
We can't go on pretending day by day
that someone somehow will soon make a change.
We are all part of God's great big family. And it's true, you know, love is all we need.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones to make a way. And it's
there's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true, we'll make a better day. Just you and me. Well, send them your heart. Oh, so they know that someone cares.
So their cries for help will not be in vain.
We can't let them suffer. No, we cannot turn away.
Right now, they need a helping hand.
Ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving.
Oh, there's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives.
It's true, we make a better day, just you and me.
When you're down and out, and there seems no hope at all,
but if you just believe, there's no way we can fall.
Come on now, let me hear you.
We are.
This radio is on fire for Jesus. You're experiencing pure joy 24/7 from your holy channel, Shalom FM Cape Town.
Welcome, welcome to Shalom FM. This is your favorite, your number one transformational speaker, Sir Brian Robert Koga. It is such an awesome pleasure for me to be joined by you as we dive into the motivational drive for today. There was a song called We Are the World by a number of artists who collaborated in trying to raise funds to assist Haiti at a certain point in time when they were hit by a tragic earthquake. Forgive me right there. We are really the world, and when we unite, we're able to do so much more. Now, Shalom FM is a community radio station. It's a Christian radio station that is meant to discuss issues that are at the heart of the community. And Shalom FM is housed at the headquarters of Command of Faith Miracle Ministries Worldwide, located in South Africa, Cape Town. So the reason why I'm saying this is at this time in point in South Africa, there are certain riots, strikes, looting. There's a lot of conflicts, racial conflicts. There's a lot of things going on, not just in South Africa, all over the world. In Africa, there are certain places experiencing wars and all. So even as a transformational speaker, I'm not just there to help you, to motivate, to inspire, but we're also meant to use our gifts to bring about a dialogue, to start conversations in regards to helping and to be able to bring about solutions to whatever problems that we need to do. So in regards to that, today's show is quite going to be different. As you know, we started off with a different strong song from what we usually play. We started with really a song called We Are the World. I was really, really hurt the other day when my mother called me all the way from KwaZulu-Natal, and she told me that she had to walk from work to home simply because they were burning cars, they were destroying furniture, they were burning buildings, they were destroying trucks, and all things were happening there. And anyone was at risk. So she had to walk from her office to home. Imagine. And then I realized that we are actually at a point in the world where we already are in a bit of a problem with the coronavirus, where lives have been lost, where jobs have been lost, and here we are adding more fuel already to the fire that is ablaze. Our Bishop Joshua N. Simeon, he gave a story in one of his sermons today. He said that the devil actually went to heaven in complaining, crying and complaining, and he went before God and said, God, listen, these people blame me for what I do unto them, but they're also blaming things they bring about upon themselves and saying it's me. Listen, a lot of people have a tendency of blaming the devil when we actually bring about the evil on our own. Our choices are the ones that have brought us to a place that we are. And if we keep doing the same choices, we are going to be in the same position. Now, I want to talk about, I am from Zimbabwe, but I am living in South Africa. So whatever I'm going to discuss about today, as much as it's a part of the whole world as we live in a global scale, but I want to use South Africa and I want to use Africa as a case study. Today, my sermon, or today, the show's title, for those who love titles, today it's titled Ships That Never Sail. Ships That Fail to Sail. And if you go to my book, I have a book that I've published. If you go to my website, www.lifehard.net, you'll be able to get a copy of my book. And in that book is a chapter called Ships That Never Sail. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, ships that never sail. Now, a ship is an earthly vessel that is created as a form of transport, as a form of moving people, goods, or whatever. But at the end of the day, a ship must leave port and sail the seas of life. Such is the human life. We are all meant to do something and achieve certain goals and objectives. We are meant to achieve a certain purpose on this earth as people, as a nation, as communities, as a ministry, as a business, whatever it is, we have to fulfill a certain mandate or objective. But what if we fail to sail? Someone once said that the richest place on earth are not the diamond mines of South Africa or the enormous gold reserves or the oil reserves yet to be drilled, but the richest places on earth are the graveyards, for there you find books never written, inventions never invented, songs never written or sung, lives that should have changed the lives of the human race but never did, greatness that should have been accomplished but was never, and all these are simply ships that failed to sail. There is no greater tragedy than a ship that is created and made only to fail to sail. While other ships wreck in the storms of life or fail to set sail, others are exploring the world, discovering and achieving greatness such as never have been known to men. Ships that never set sail. As you think about this, I want you to really think about what is going on in your own family, your own business, your own ministry, your own community. Are you that ship that is failing to sail? Ships that failed to sell. Now, I recently listened to a sermon by Dr. Otabio Menza, and the sermon is called Restoration for Africa, and it's available on YouTube. He discussed something in regards to Africa that really caught my mind and made me pause and begin to think. He said that, do you know that the continent of Africa is a combination of 54 different countries? From Cape Town to Cairo, from Senegal to Somalia, it's 54 nations. And he said that among these 54 nations, there are certain nations that are well known for gold, for diamonds, for copper, for different products, different natural resources. But when they did a net worth, when they did calculation of how much the whole continent is, they say that it's about, according to his sermon, it's about 2.2 trillion. So 54 continents on the African plane or continent were said to be have a net worth of 2.2 trillion. And then he compared them to four different companies. Apple is a company established by Steve Jobs, established in the year 1976 with a net worth of $1 trillion. And all that Apple does is make phones, laptops, and iPads. And then he talked about Microsoft. Microsoft, as you know, is a computer software company established by Bill Gates, established in 1975 with a net worth of $570 billion around that time when he did his research. Facebook was a company started in 2004 with a net worth of $500 billion, and we know it's a social media company. Amazon is an online retail company with a net worth of $430 billion, started in 1994. Therefore, if you're able to compare these four companies to the whole continent of Africa, you see that Africa is lagging far behind. So what is happening to Africa? Who is to blame towards the failure that Africa is going on or experiencing? Who is to blame, like, really? Ships that fail to sail. When the world is busy developing and going places and being able to raise millions and trillions, other countries are not even able to raise that. But who is to fault or who is to blame? According to the governor in the KwaZulu-Natal area, they did an estimate of the damage that has been brought about by the looting, the strikes, and the burning down of property buildings. They say that it's worth about $1 billion. So because of what is happening in the world, what is happening in South Africa, people have taken the law upon themselves and started off as a protest against certain activities by the government, and then people began, criminals beginning to loot, destroying and stealing billions and billions worth of products, destroying furniture, destroying buildings, destroying infrastructure, and yet who's to blame? I say that Africa, in all, they say that the net worth of Africa is about 2.2 trillion, and yet these four companies are worth more than Africa, the entire 54 nations. Who is to blame? Can we blame those who colonized us from behind? Can we blame them? Remember, these four companies were formed when most of the countries in Africa already had their independence. So therefore, these companies are actually younger than some of the countries in Africa. Yet these companies are doing more than our African continent on its own. Who is to blame? Is Africa just another ship that is failing to sail? I really say that today. I really want to discuss the issues that are at the heart of the community. You see, it would be pretentious of me as a motivational, transformational speaker to only speak about dreams are possible and not speak about issues that are going on in my community or issues that are going on in the world. Listen, if we expect our future to be better, then we have to address our present moments. And when you make wrong choices and when you go about behaving anyhow today, then you know that our future is still going to be bad. You cannot expect to have a better future if you don't do better today. I think we as Africans actually need to do better. Charity really begins at home. We have to change. No one is going to come out there from Europe or from wherever they're going to come to help us. We have to help ourselves, and it begins by taking responsibility. We cannot destroy our own infrastructure and hoping someone else will come rebuild it. Listen, have we all of a sudden become a ship that is failing to sail? Now, in the Bible, in 1 Kings chapter 22, from I'll read verse 42 and I'll read verse 48. This is where I got the title, Ships That Fail to Sail. On verse 42, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 42, it says, okay, I'll read from verse 41. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, became king of Judah in Ahab's fourth year as king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he ruled from Jerusalem for 25 years. And then I'll read from verse 48. Jehoshaphat then built sea-going ships to go to Ophir or Africa for gold, but they were destroyed and never set sail. Jehoshaphat built ships to sail to Ophir or to sail to Africa for gold, but they were destroyed and they never set sail. What a tragedy. There is no tragedy that a person who is destined for greatness does not or fail to accomplish the greatness that he had. A ship that never set sail. It is one thing to have been wrecked at sea while going on about your dreams and purposes than to have been wrecked while never having left the port. Listen, someone decides to start their business. They work hard to raise their income, to be able to buy stock, to be able to rent a shop, to be able to provide a valuable service in the community, to be able to provide not only products, services, goods and services, but also to provide employment for the people in the community. Yet, due to criminality, due to greediness and vandalism, someone comes and destroys that very same shop where he's expecting to come and buy bread tomorrow. What is wrong with us? Really, what is wrong with the world? What is wrong with us as a humanity? We are simply ships that are failing to set sail. Instead of waiting and being creative in regards to making an income of ourselves, we are busy destroying and sabotaging other people's businesses. And yet tomorrow we expect to be able to be provided for with goods and services from the very same people we are putting down by their action and behavior. It is important that even on a platform like this, we talk about issues that are relevant to humanity, issues that are relevant to our day and age, because I believe that this gift I was given is meant to be a light to shine, to show people the path that is right and correct, and not to leave evil. For if evil is not condoned, evil will keep growing and manifesting. Let the righteous speak so that evil may be put silenced. We have to speak against such. And God wants us to speak against such. God asks us to be responsible. He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. How does someone who loves another person go and rob the very same person who's next door? Listen, we have suddenly become sheep that failed to sell. No one is to blame. Not our colonizers. No one is to blame. We are to blame. We are and have suddenly become our own worst enemy. Who are we to destroy our very own nations, to destroy our own cities, our own buildings, our own shops, our own service providers? Who are we? We really need to change. I don't believe that things will change unless we change as a people, unless we change as communities, unless we change as families, unless we change as a nation, unless we change as a community. You see, potential is useless if potential is not used. And if potential is used in a negative way, instead of building up, it simply destroys. And what a catastrophe. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, in the book of 1 Kings 22 verse 48, from where we read, it says that Jehoshaphat got on the throne at around age 35 and he began to rule the nation of Jerusalem. But the Bible, if you read a few verses before, it says that Jehoshaphat got on the throne after another king was there and had used all the country's gold, all the country's wealth to go to war and squander everything, such that when Jehoshaphat got on the throne, there was nothing. Listen, I put it in my book. I said, all of life is connected. One carries with them everywhere they go. You carry your past into your present, and your present will soon be your past, and your future will soon be your present. The present will be your past, which will present itself into your future. Do not be deceived, for whatever one sows today, you will surely bear the harvest tomorrow. You see, all of us are connected, and we all lead to the future generations to be faithful. The reason why we are where we are is our predecessors or the generation before us did not invest in the next generation. They were busy corruption. They were busy squandering the wealth that the little that they got. They were not strategic in regards to the use of resources, such that when the next generation was born, the next generation was born in debt. And we are continually living and carrying over debt from one generation to generation. And we live and continually be in poverty. I think it's high time that we, even as this generation, begins to take things into our own hands and to take responsibility and to make the necessary changes and sacrifices so that the next generation will live better. We have to change. We have to change. We cannot be our own worst enemy and squander and destroy the very same thing that we need for tomorrow. It's like we destroy. Listen, we must feed what feeds us, not break and destroy what feeds us. There is a story that we're told as children in regards to sharing and in regards to how to be responsible, to handle what little we have, to handle whatever we have. It talks about in a village, there was a family, a mother and father and two boys who were around about the same age. And this family, all they had was a cow which gave out milk. They had a banana tree and they had one blanket which they shared together to keep warm. So a certain point in time came and the father and the mother had to travel to a certain place. So the father called the boys and they sat down with the boys and said, boys, I have to travel to a certain place for days and days. So you have to stay and be responsible for what you have. Take care of the blanket. Keep yourself warm. Take care of the banana tree so that you can continually eat bananas from it. And make sure that the cow is well fed so that you can continually have milk. And we'll see you when you come back. And the father and mother went away. The boys, when they were left, they started fighting. They started fighting for the blanket. They were not willing to share or to be able to sit together in the blanket. So they decided the only way to solve this issue was to cut the blanket in half. But you know what happened? When they cut the blanket in half, the blanket became so small that they could not keep themselves warm. And yet it was too late to mend the blanket. Then they started fighting over bananas, over the banana tree. So they decided to cut down the banana tree. But when they cut down the banana tree, they were only able to eat the few bananas left, and then the tree died because they had cut it in half. And thus they had no bananas anymore. Then when it came to the cow and the milk, they fought again for the cow and milk, and someone got so angry and decided, I'm going to kill this cow. And he killed the cow, and tomorrow they both had no milk and cow. This is what we've been doing here in South Africa, where instead of sitting down together to get into dialogue, to see how we can fix our economy, to see how we can create employment, to see how we can develop ourselves and even get investment and even work with the resources that we have become our own worst enemy by destroying the little that we have. God has blessed us with natural resources. God has blessed us with so many things, and yet we squander and make use in a bad way what we have been given. And then we cry the next day to say, we are poor. There is no employment. There is no resources. There are no finances and all. Yet we are our own worst enemy. We have become ships that have failed to sail. What a tragedy it is. What a tragedy it is. There is no greater tragedy than a nation which was destined for greatness yet fails to achieve all that is supposed to be. At a certain point in time, South Africa was called the Rainbow Nation, for they were united in different races and colors, and yet now it is a ship that has failed to sail. I remember my country, Zimbabwe. At a certain point in time, Zimbabwe was called the breadbasket of Africa, and now it has become the begging basket of Africa, begging and begging for donors. Why? We have become a ship that fails to sail. The young man was intelligent. He was gifted, he was talented, he was passing so well, he was doing so well in school, and yet he took one sip of alcohol. Try this drug, try this new thing, and you become hooked and addicted, only to destroy your destiny, a ship that fails to sail. Your future and your relationship can be named among ships that have failed to sail. Yes, he was handsome. Yes, she was beautiful. It was meant to be. They were so much in love, only to be disappointed and to be left with a heartbreak. Maybe worse off to be left with a baby with no support. Maybe worse off to be left with a disease incurable. A ship that failed to sail. Simply why? Because people compromised in regards to who they date, in regards to what they drink, in regards to the people you hang out with. Listen, if you hang around failures and fools, you end up being a failure yourself. Choose your friends wisely. When others ask you, let's go and loot, let's go and destroy, let's go and steal, you must stand your ground and say, it is not me. Listen, we need to come back to our humanity and to come back to Ubuntu, to come back to the original that God had always intended for men, especially as young people. We can be the change that we want to see in the world. What a tragedy. A ship that never set sail. He or she excelled in all her classes, got all the awards and merits, and was the best in all sporting disciplines and arts, yet failed to make it in this world. So much potential, and thus a ship that never set sail. Oh, what a tragedy. Your sponsors, your parents, they paid all the fees. They did all they could to give you the best education, to give you the best resources, yet your results were beyond dismal simply because you did not put in the effort necessary to make it, yet another ship that never set sail. What a tragedy. One had it all. A great job, a good salary, a nice car, and a happy family. The future was bright, yet somewhere along the lines you lost it. A tragedy. The consequences of wrong choices or the storms of life, yet another ship that never set sail. There is no great tragedy than the death of a child or a young man or a lady, brought about because people are fighting over a route. Brought about by taxi drivers fighting over who is supposed to drive where, who is supposed to carry which passenger. Is human life not worth more valuable than that? What a tragedy. Another ship that fails to sail. Maybe that young man you have killed was meant to be the next president, to invent a cure for coronavirus. Who knows? Many have crashed along the rift of life and died before accomplishing their dreams. Yet you are alive and hear this recording and hear me on radio. Let your life not be a tragedy. Live your life to the fullest. Be relentless and go for your dream. Success is certain. Victory is guaranteed. As a child of God, God promises that He will make a way for you. Even rivers in the desert you will see. Do not be like those who squander their lives by being irresponsible, by going against what God says. God says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Stand according to the right. Stand according to the light, to the right, and God will bless you. God is looking for those who are pure in heart, those who stand to duty, as the who are faithful to duty as the needy is to the poor, those who cannot be bought or sold, who will not compromise, those who stand for the truth and who stand for fellow humanity, who will not be bought or sold. Though the heavens and earth collapse, they will stand upright and say, we refuse to behave in a certain way. We need a generation that is willing to stand and to say, we will fight for our people. We will fight for our generation. Let this generation be a light to all the other generations. Let us be the change that we want to see. Listen, we don't have a choice to say you're born in a particular family, in a particular continent, or in a particular place, but we have a choice to choose how we make use of the time that we have on this earth, and we have a choice to say, how do we use the resources that were given to us? Change really begins from within. We cannot expect a stranger to come into our house and to clean our house for ourselves. We have to do the cleaning on our own. Let us not be a ship that fails to sail. Now, let us explore the story of King Jehoshaphat a little bit more. The story of King Jehoshaphat is found in 1 Kings chapter 22 from verse 41 to around 48. It says Jehoshaphat began to rule at the age 35, but he began to rule when the predecessor, the king before him, had squandered everything that was there in the kingdom, going to war. Why are we fighting? Ask yourself, before you take a certain action or before you do a certain move, ask yourself, what are the consequences? For whatever you sow, you shall reap. We may have squandered and looted from our very shops that we want to shop tomorrow, but tomorrow we're going to be in hunger. I heard that the fuel depot over there in Durban had to shut down, meaning to say that for the next few days we might incur fuel shortages, but who is to blame? We have become our own worst enemy. We in Africa can relate to what Jehoshaphat was facing. We are a country in constant financial crisis and turmoil. There are no money, there are no jobs, there is no employment, there is chaos in the country, and we are unsure and confused about what the future holds. The reason is because our predecessors and the people who we look up to as elders are the ones who are actually misbehaving and who are acting as animals. We are not barbarians. We are a people that know and reason. We need to come back to our reasoning, to come back to our senses. As the prodigal son came back to his senses, we need to come back and to say sorry and to apologize and to begin to make the necessary arrangements to refix our nation. It's not yet over. Let us not be our own worst enemy. Gross mismanagement and corrupt activities, criminality that is occurring, looting, destroying and killing, that is all. That is what has brought us to where we are. Yes, even what makes it worse now is you're going through a period of the pandemic, a period of the coronavirus, yet amidst it all, we are adding petrol to a bomb that is already exploding. We have to change. We have to become the change that we want to see in the world. Who is to blame? Remember, I said it. We are all connected. And we owe it to future generations to be faithful in the little that we have. If we are not good managers of what we have, we can never expect to have more in the future. We have to change. King Jehoshaphat, after he gotten on the rule, on the throne, he saw the poverty of his people and his nation, and he decided to make ships to move, to travel from his country to Africa so that he could attain gold and to come and to make a difference within his nation. Listen, in this generation, we need radical people who are going to think outside the box. Remember the statistics that I gave you earlier on. The statistics that a continent of 54 nations, according to a sermon by Dr. Otabil Menza on YouTube called Restoring Africa, he says 54 nations, the whole continent of Africa, around that time was a net worth of 2.2 trillion. And yet, when he compared them to four different companies, Apple had, at that period in time, a net worth of 1 trillion. Microsoft had a net worth of 570 billion. Facebook had a net worth of 5 billion. Amazon had a net worth of 430 billion. 54 countries on the continent of Africa are being surpassed by four different companies. Why not sit down as a nation and discover how we can do things better? I always say it in almost every place that I go. I always say it. Success leaves footsteps, and we need to follow the footsteps of those companies and discover how we can make a change and difference in our country. We cannot remain in poverty. Yes, we are born in this world, but we are not of this world. We should not be conformed to the standards of the world, but we should be renewed and transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to change our mindset. If our predecessors were corrupt, we cannot expect things to change if we ourselves become corrupt as well. If our predecessors were thieves, robbers, and looters, we have to be a generation that will bring about the change. We have to bring about the change that we want to see in the world. We have to change it. We have to be radical in regards to the way we think. The world, there's so much abundance and resources out there just waiting for us to tap into what God has already given to us. God has invested so much in each and every one of us, but we'll never be all that God wants when we continue to live the way that we're living. Listen, a fool is defined as one who does the same thing expecting a different answer. I don't want to die poor. I refuse to carry this poverty to the next generation. I refuse to live life as if as it has always been done, but I choose to be the light of the world. For what will it profit when you are the salt of the world? What will it profit the world if salt has lost its value? The only thing that you can do is to put it on the ground and let men step on it. I will not. I refuse to be that. I'm going to be a voice to the voiceless. I'm going to be a hand to those without hands. I'm going to be an eye to those without eyes. I'm going to be the help that others need. The great people that we celebrate up to this point in time, we celebrate their lives because they were willing to give themselves in service of men. A life of service is a life full, is a life worth lived. We have to choose to put ourselves on the side and to go beyond and above for our fellow brothers and sisters. Listen, when we started off this show, the song that was playing was, "We are the world. We are the people who make the world a better place. And it is our choices that will make this place a better place. No matter where you are, no matter what continent you are, no matter what country you are, no matter what family you are, no matter what ministry, what household, what business, no matter where you are today, things can change if you decide and say, I'm tired of this. I want to be the change that I want to see. And you begin to take the necessary steps. God says, just take a leap of faith. Just see a better world around you and begin to create by making better choices. Better choices will change your life forever. Life can change in a twinkling of an eye. We have to be more disciplined in regards to how we make use of our time, how we make use of our resources, how may we make use of what God has given us. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. That's what the Bible says. Jehoshaphat decided to make ships to go and find God for his people. We actually need to live a life of service. I forgot who said this quote, but it's one of my favorite quotes. It is one that empowers me to keep wanting to do what I've been given to do. It says that one can only really find themselves when they lose themselves in service of men, in service of humanity. If you really want to know who you are, stop looking at you and begin to look at how you can change and impact and make a difference and help other people in the world. We are meant to be each other. We are meant to be our brother's keepers, each other's keepers. We are meant to hold our hands and to help each other, not to plunge ourselves into darkness by being irresponsible, by being greedy, by being wicked. We have to change. Let this mind which was in Christ Jesus be also in us. Philippians 2 verse 5. Jesus, though being in the form of God, he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. And because of that, God has lifted him up and given him a name above every name. That at the name or at the mention of Jesus, the name Jesus, every knee shall bow down and every tongue confess he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to change. We live in a world that needs radical thinking. Thinking outside the box, being innovative and not just blaming everything on what others did. Do you know what? If someone stabs you today, that stab might not kill you. But if you leave that wound open, it will begin to bleed. It will begin to develop infections and that will seriously kill you. So, as much as our predecessors left a big wound upon us, but it is upon us to begin to dress that wound and to heal that wound and to begin to take care of it such that we will be back again restored. Our God is a God of restoration. It is possible to change our lives, to break away from poverty. What lies before us or what lies behind us or before us are just but little matters compared to what lies within us. The major key to your success, the major key to our success, the major key to real life change, the major key to our nations becoming better, becoming more than average, is simply developing an above average person, an above average family, an above average community. We have to put in the extra mile to become extraordinary. We can be the change that we want to see. The major key to your success, like Jim Rohn says, is you. You are the one who's holding the keys to your prosperity. You choose which door to open, poverty or prosperity, and God will help you. God will give you the grace to go as far as you decide to go. One of my favorite quotes is, our greatest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is not our darkness that most frightens us, but it is our light that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be intelligent? Who am I to be beautiful, to be smart, to be handsome, to be fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of the Most High God. And you need to break away from the shackles of limitation. And as you allow yourself to be liberated from the shackles that have held you down, shackles of poverty, failure, disappointment, and of havoc and poverty and racial discrimination, hatred and all, as we let ourselves free, we give others the permission and the power to do the same. We have to be examples. We have to be examples. Why do ships fail to sail? Or why are ships destroyed when they are meant to sail the unknown seas of the world of life? There are external reasons why ships wreck and fail. Ships wreck because of the work of pirates and thieves, the work of evildoers. In the Bible, John 10 verse 10, the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. A person has put in their hard work, has brought about and gathered his resources to make a business for themselves, and yet the key thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who are you to do that? What right do you have to come and squander another man's sweat and blood? We have to change. We have to move away from this ideology that we can get something for nothing. Why do you want to harvest where you have not sown? You must put in on your own. You must put in your own. You must put in your own work. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's really evil at work to destroy you and to keep you from fulfilling the promise or the purpose of which you were created. The other reason for ships failing to sail is sabotage. But here we are sabotaging our very own selves. We have become our own worst enemy. What a shame. We really have to change. I'm speaking not with joy in my heart, but I'm really disappointed that we as a people can behave in such a way. We have to change. Other people are not interested to see you succeed and will try by all means to make sure that you fail. Internal reasons for shipwrecking and failing are: the Bible says that guard your heart, for out of the heart comes the issues of life. We cannot expect change to come out when our hearts are corrupt. We have to remove the corruption within our hearts and to change and to become better in all our choices, in all our actions. Let us not become ships that fail to sail. The other reason for failure is the old fall for success. Laziness. Henry Clay put it this way: the time will come when winter will ask you, what were you doing all summer? Make most of the time you have. If the attitude is wrong, we will fail to handle the storms of life. Conforming to the standards of this world or set for us will surely make us fail to reach our goals and dreams. Some ships fail to sail the seas of life because of the wrong crew. Birds of the same feathers flock together. If you run around losers, you end up a loser. Yet, even amidst the chaos that is happening in the world, there is still opportunity for us to arise and shine. For out of the darkest night shines the brightest light. There's always hope. Here at Shalom FM, our motto is, there's always a way out in Christ Jesus. Be daring like the Christopher Columbus, who decided to go against the norms and sail the unknown seas only to discover treasures and nations unknown. In trying and starting whatever you have in mind, you do not know which way will work, but you make adjustments to your ship. This comes to all of us who have suffered losses and destruction of our businesses, our project, our whatever. It's not over until God says it's over. As long as your foot is still on top of the ground and not 6 feet under, God will make a way for you. There's always hope in Christ Jesus. We have to be the change that we want to see. This is your favorite transformational speaker, Sir Brian Robert Koga, here on Shalom FM. Please get in touch with us in regards to the conversations that we've been having. The WhatsApp number is +27 81 026 9868, or visit our website www.shalomfm.org. I really hope to see Africa rise to all that it can. We really are the world, and we are all children of the Most High God. We need to begin to make a difference in our communities, in our societies, in our nation, and in our families. Anyway, as we come to the very end of this show, where we read of King Jehoshaphat, who decided to think outside the box, and yet the ships were destroyed at port. It doesn't matter who has destroyed your dream or what you have, but God is a God of restoration. He will restore what you have lost. For at a certain point in time, Job lost all he had. But at the end of the day, he got double for his trouble. So don't you dare give up. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your society, on your community. Don't give up on your country. Don't give up on God, for he won't give up on you. He is a present help in the time of need, and he will give you the strength to continue on, to edge on and to fight on. While others say there's a casting down, you will say there's a lifting up. While others say they are weak, you will say, I am strong. For it is the joy of the Lord that strengthens you. There's always hope. There's always a way out in Christ Jesus. This is Sir Brian at Shalom FM. Continue, stay on us, and we have more program lined up for you.
Positive ingredients, freshly brewed by Shalom FM Cape Town. We give God all the credit. Stay blessed and stay tuned. Serving the body of Christ. You are listening to Shalom FM Cape Town, where listening gives hope.
Check your speakers. This ain't a self-help song or another makeover song, but how it made me over. You dig?
I like me. Yo, you like me. Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me.
I like me. Yo, you like me. Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me.
Yo. Short, big nose, big lip. Kind of stuff to stutter, but I never trip. Got my daddy swag and I walk with a limp. Got a hot wife, no need to be a pimp. Never been cute, never been fly. Since I've been changed, got that twinkle in my eye. Got my grill fixed, now smile when I speak.
Tell me who that is.
Yo, it's that Jesus freak.
I like me. Yo, you like me. Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me.
Sir,
juice in the booth.
See, I like me.
Why? That's the piece right there. Hey, I've been waiting a long time for this one.
I just smile. I'm so content, and I ain't even got yellow stones on my wrist. I hear the world say I'm supposed to be rich, but I don't buy that, man. I don't go with the trends. I go the whole mile, lose or win. I hope that's the impression that the CDs give. I'm more concerned about how they see me live than trying to get a house from MTV Cribs.
Hey, son.
Yo, you like me, cause I like me. Do
yes,
you like me?
That's a see, problem, like baby.
Cause he likes me.
Sir.
God likes me.
That boy feel good right there, baby.
I like me. Yo, you like me.
cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me, cause he likes me. God likes me, though you won't like me.
Positive ingredients, freshly brewed by Shalom FM Cape Town. We give God all the credit. Stay blessed and stay tuned. Local community radio station. Remember, there's always a way out in Christ.
As we come to the close of today's show, I just want to read Ezekiel chapter 37. It says, some time later, I felt the Lord's power take control of me, and His Spirit carried me to a valley full of bones. The Lord showed me all around, and everywhere I looked, I saw bones, and they were dried out. And He said, Ezekiel, son of man, can these dry bones come back to life? And I replied, Lord God, only you can answer. And then He told me to say, dry bones, listen to what the Lord is saying to you. I, the Lord God, will put breath in you, and once again you will live. I will wrap you with muscles and skin and breathe life into you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I did what the Lord said, but before I finished speaking, I heard a rattling voice. The bones were coming together. I saw muscles and skin cover the bones, but they had no life in them. The Lord said, Ezekiel, now say to the wind, the Lord God commands you to blow from every direction and to breathe life into these dead bodies so they can live again. And as soon as I say this, the wind blew among the bodies and they came back to life. They all stood up and they were enough to make a large army. The Lord said, Ezekiel, the people of Israel are like dead bones. They complain that they are dried up and that they have no hope for the future. So tell them, I, the Lord God, promise to open your graves and to set you free. I'll bring you back to your nation. And when that happens, you will realize that I am the Lord. My Spirit will give you breath and you will live again. I'll bring you home and you know that I've kept my promise. I, the Lord, have spoken. No matter how broken your sheep may have been, no matter how you have failed, but God promises to make you live again. He will put life again into your business. He will put life again into the economy. He will put life again into Africa. Let us look unto the Lord and to pray for our nations and to join hands in rebuilding. Whatever we have lost, whatever troubles, we will get double for our trouble. Have a blessed day. This is Sir Brian, your favorite transformational speaker on Shalom FM. Have a wonderful day.